are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Did you know the NBA season tips off on Tuesday night? Did you know that LeBron James doesn't start his season until Thursday night? Why? Oh, I'll tell you why. So it can be on national TV. Tuesday night doubleheader to tip things off. You've got Philadelphia at Boston. Remember last year's playoff series? We wondered if it could be a precursor to a rivalry, a budding rivalry with young players on both sides. And then Oklahoma City without Russell Westbrook, unless he has some miraculous recovery between now and then. Well, no one splits you up because Paul George is still there in OKC against the defending champs, the Golden State Warriors. So that's your doubleheader on Tuesday. There's a whole slew of games on Wednesday, but not the Lakers. Not until Thursday night on the road at Portland. The Lakers then are home for the first time on Saturday night. Also a nationally televised game. What did I tell you? Once the schedule was released, there are more Lakers games on national television than there are any other team in the NBA, and that includes the defending champion Warriors.
Freaking suck.
Unless there are things, pieces that get moved around, the Lakers will have 32 games on national TV, while the Warriors will only have 29.
Honestly?
You're going to be so sick of those two teams by the time this regular season is over, but it's just beginning. And I know that the possibilities are endless. I don't know if one of those possibilities is the Lakers end up getting to the NBA Finals, but we'll see if LeBron extends his streak. Or will we get a different matchup? Will we have someone other than the Warriors and the Cavaliers? Poor Cavaliers, they're being shunned. They're being cast off. Hit the cutting room floor. Only two of their games on national TV, even though they are the four-time defending Eastern Conference champion.
It's a lie.
Such disrespect. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. While we're talking about the NBA, I want to spend just a minute and mention that Paul Allen has passed away. Many of you have probably heard the news. He died of complications from his non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which he first was diagnosed with almost a decade ago, and it had recently returned. Only 65 years old, so a brilliant mind that's gone far too soon. But the tie with sports is that this co-founder of Microsoft was also the owner of the Seattle Seahawks and the Portland Trail Blazers. So you can be sure that Portland will be honoring their former owner when they open up their NBA season. So he and Bill Gates forever tied together, which means this isn't just a sports story. He was known for his philanthropic efforts, his money that he poured into charitable donations and charitable works. And he was also known for being a pretty regular guy, even though he was a billionaire. The stories that have been told about him in the last few hours since his death became news, how he would show up to owners' meetings and he'd be the guy wearing jeans and a hat and didn't speak very much, but when he did, there was always wisdom. Very smart, obviously. Incredible technological mind. And also was a beloved owner. And the Seahawks had a lot of success since he bought the team. So he purchased the team back in 1997, and think about what the Seahawks did while he was the owner. A dozen trips to the playoffs, three Super Bowl appearances, and the victory in, was it the 2013? 2013, I believe. The Super Bowl of 2013. So the 2012 season in which the Seahawks beat the Denver Broncos. Or, oh, so 14 Super Bowl, sorry. 13 season, 14 Super Bowl. Before Paul Allen bought the Seahawks, they'd only reached the playoffs four times, going back to their birth in 1976. And also owned the Portland Trail Blazers. Very passionate about sports in addition to everything else that he did. So really neat to see some of the tributes from inside the sports world as well as from outside the sports world, because he had a finger, had a hand everywhere. Talk about making an impact and leaving a mark. You could say that and give many examples when it comes to Paul Allen. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can reach us on the phones, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. And then our Facebook page and our Twitter, our Twizzler Tuesday question, you can answer a variety of ways. What frightens you most about your team? And don't send me some crap about nothing. Come on. No such thing as a perfect team out there. Not even if your team's coming off a huge win. For instance, yeah, the Chiefs and the Patriots looked awesome. Up and down the field, up and down the field, scoring at will on Sunday night. What the heck happened to the defenses? They got picked apart. So every team has a fatal flaw, especially after week six. There's no such thing as a perfect team. No team that's ready to win a championship right now. So in honor of Halloween, that's a couple weeks away. Or if you were walking through my neighborhood, you would think it was tomorrow based on the number of decorations that have taken up residence. I do like the orange. There's orange everywhere. Ghouls and goblins. And you know what else is happening? Oh, sorry. That was me talking with my hands and hitting the microphone. You know what else is crazy? And this, I feel like, is a relatively new development. All of the decorations are blow-up dolls, or, you know, they need power. Okay, maybe it's because I'm on a radio salary. There's absolutely no way that I would be running electric power to a Halloween decoration all night long or all day long. I don't care. Absolutely not happening. That's a big electricity bill, a boost to the electric bill. But yeah, all over my neighborhood, there are people who have all these large blow-up Halloween figures. Maybe it's just me, but it feels like in the last several years, decorating for the entire month of October has become much more popular than it used to be. Maybe it's just where I live. I might need to move. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So I'm going to get to some of your frightening things about your NFL team. And some of you are being ridiculous and not actually answering the question. So just so you know, if you're not taking me seriously, I'm probably not taking you seriously. But I'll get to those on Twitter and on Facebook. CBS's Super Bowl season continues on Sunday with a triple header, a triple header. First, it's live from London as opposed to dead from London. Live from London, the Tennessee Titans will battle the Los Angeles Chargers. Then you've got Tom Brady and the Patriots after that thrilling win over Kansas City, colliding with Khalil Mack and the Bears. Do we have a caller earlier? We did, who guaranteed a victory by the Bears against the Pats. Uh-huh. Followed by a large, in-charge NFC East showdown between the Cowboys and the Redskins, both coming off of bounce-back wins. Wake up with the NFL today, starting early, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific. Start your full day of football with CBS. Hashtag boom. So are you ready to hear what the crew and I will be doing once we reach, here's the number, 33,000 likes on the Facebook page. And the reason we're choosing 33 is because 30 is too easy and 33 is my favorite number. So we're going to make this a little difficult for you. But we've decided, plus this will give us some time to plan. We've decided that you'll get to see us in all of the planning stages, the diagrams, the coaching. You will get to see each of us draw up and teach a touchdown celebration to the others. And maybe we'll pull in a couple of guys from the newsroom if it's one of those group celebrations. I'm a little bit worried that Isaac is going to make me do the Conor McGregor walk, and so I'm not sure how I feel about that. But each of us will have a chance to
UFC
draw up a touchdown celebration and teach the other one how to do it. Now, you get brownie points if it's unique, but I guarantee you the celebrations will not be flawless. I don't have much grace when it comes to the whole dancing thing. And so
I would tell you that it's not awkward at all for me.
It might be super awkward for me, though. Roger Goodell, would you like to join us? That would be quite the video that would go viral on YouTube. So, yeah, we'll do after-hours TD celebrations in which you get to see the process from start to finish. Can I just tell you, Chris is so excited. He's already mentioned a whiteboard and diagramming the touchdown celebrations.
It's time to have some fun.
I didn't realize that was a nerd alert quality about producer Chris, but that'll be fantastic. All right, so that's going to happen when we get to 33,000 likes on the Facebook page, because 33 is my favorite number, and I need you guys to work for it a little bit. Let's see. Coming up next, we'll get to the things that frighten you most about your team. So in the case of trick or treat, this is not a treat. You're hoping it's a trick. Your teams have fatal flaws. My team has fatal flaw. What scares the crap out of you when it comes to your football team? On Twitter, on Facebook, on the phones. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
1 minute to beat 10. He's gone!
They throw in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Made a guy miss. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown! Southern Salting into the end zone. Touchdown!
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, head to @AfterHoursCBS on Twitter or give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Houston Texans.
Second and 10, Bills from their 25. One back, McCoy. Peterman in the gun. Two receivers left, one to the right side. Peterman takes the snap. He's looking left. He throws that way. It's picked off by Jonathan Joseph across the 15, 10, 5. Rock and roll. The Texans go in front on the pick six.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
First and 10 at the 31 of the Bengals. Ben in the gun. 15 seconds to go. The Steelers have a timeout left.
Blitz is coming.
All here it blitz. Comes. And a quick pop over the middle. Running free. That's Antonio. 10, 5. Touchdown, Pittsburgh. You gotta be here!
Oh, baby.
Unbelievable!
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Play action fake. Outside rush. Mahomes stepping up. He's throwing deep. He's got Tyreek Hill wide open at the 35 left, sprinting. 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Kansas City and New England for the second straight year sees the Cheetah go for 75 yards on a catch, this time from Patrick Mahomes.
The Green Bay Packers.
Third and 6, trailing 30-23. 2 minutes straight up to go in the game. Ball to the right hash mark. San Francisco showing a blitz through the A gap, and here they come. Rodgers looking. Throws left side of the end zone.
Yes!
Touchdown!
Yes! Davante Adams! Left corner of the end zone from Aaron Rodgers.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
I just said to the guys, I love this feature every week. Your chance to vote for TD of the week. Hashtag Touchdown Tuesday. Jonathan Joseph with the pick six late off Nathan Peterman to help the Texans survive the Buffalo Bills. It was all about the defense and the special teams for the Texans. How about the Steelers? A handful of seconds left and you get the hot read, quote unquote, from Ben Roethlisberger to Antonio Brown. Blitz is coming. They knew they were going to have that opportunity straight up the middle, and he was gone. And it was a game winner against the Bengals on the road. The Chiefs did not win on the road in New England, but man, second half, Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt, Patrick Mahomes, they dazzled us. And then finally, the Packers. It wasn't the game winner. That one belonged to Mason Crosby and his field goal. But with under 2 minutes to play, a touchdown in the corner, a patient Aaron Rodgers waiting for just the right moment. Pressure coming, but he was able to lift it to Davante Adams where only Davante could grab it. Man, we got spoiled in week 6 in the NFL. Mark Vandermeer on the Texans radio network Bill Hillgrove with the Steelers Radio Network, Mitch Holtis on the Chiefs Radio Network, and finally, Wayne Larrabee on the Packers Radio Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can head to Twitter or Facebook, and you can vote for the TD of the week. Your vote's already pouring in. So it's on Twitter, either our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or mine, and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. It's brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. What scares the bejesus out of you? I don't even know what that word means. I've just heard that somewhere, and it's stuck in my head. It's something probably my grandmother said. What scares you to death about your team? Here we are through week six, and man, there are teams out there that you think, are they going to be able to hide that weakness and be a contender? Every team's got a fatal flaw, potentially fatal flaw. What is yours? 855-212-4227. George is listening in Los Angeles. Welcome to After Hours.
Amy, how you doing?
I'm good.
Good, good. The Rams' fatal flaw, and I shouldn't complain too much, they're 6-0. They're secondary. They're prone to getting burnt on the deep passes the last 2 weeks.
Sure.
Because Aqib Talib, whatever his name is, out.
And Aqib Talib.
Troy Hill and Marcus Peters are both prone to being burnt on long passes.
Yeah, Peter's a little older, obviously. I think that with Marcus, too, he may say that he feels completely fine, but he's obviously dealing with nagging injuries. And so, yeah, we'll see. It's something that Wade Phillips can fix. I have confidence in Wade, can work with these guys. But it's certainly a good thing that they have a high-powered offense.
Well, yeah, I mean, because their offense covers up a lot of the defensive mistakes because they can either stay ahead of a team or stay with them. And hopefully get a lead. And the end of that game was kind of deceiving. It was 23-20, but they didn't get touchdowns until late in the game. So the Rams pretty well had it under control, but it looked closer than what it was. And think about this. It was 25 degrees, snow flurries. Most L.A. teams do not do well in Denver. So there's a bonus. There's a plus as far as that goes. And being 6-0 is amazing still. So overall, I can't complain too much. But
wait, did you say it looked closer than it was? I thought it was the opposite. I thought it looked not as close as the final score indicated.
Yes, that's what I meant.
Oh, okay, got it. I will say they did much better at stuffing the run. I mean, the Broncos have been able to run the ball so far this year with their pair of rookies, but they did well stuffing the run after Ndamukong Suh complained about how bad their run defense was. I thought it was a lot better on Sunday.
True, and I think Mark Barron having another week as a linebacker helped too because he just come in the Seattle game and had been injured quite a bit, and he's a pretty good, whatever you call those hybrid linebackers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they're extremely versatile. Great to have one who can do a lot of different things in coverage, which then makes it easier to disguise what you're doing and try to confuse the offense or catch them in a mistake.
Yeah, and Jared Goff was kind of off in that game, but thank God for Todd Gurley, 208 yards. My gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah, for sure. He's one of the best in the biz. Thanks, George.
Thank you.
855-212-4227. Doug is in Green Bay. Doug, welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy. Love the show. Listen to it every day driving to work.
Thank you. Did you get any sleep?
About 2.5 hours.
Well, we haven't slept yet, if it makes you feel any better.
All right. Our fatal flaw is our defense. I know San Francisco was a 1-4 team, and being in the NFL, everybody is good. They have to be good enough to make it to the NFL. But to give up 30 points to a backup quarterback, and they move the ball up and down the field on us all night. If we don't straighten things up on the defensive end, we're going to be struggling this year. We got a string of 5 games coming up, and they're all against teams with winning records.
Yeah, I agree with that. I will say a lot of times it feels like it's about getting a rush on the passer And they did come up with a couple of big sacks, and I really liked the way the defense performed in those final three drives. We're going to talk a lot about Aaron Rodgers and Mason Crosby, and we should, Devontae Adams, and what the offense did. But the fact is, if you don't get a pair of three and outs and an interception on the final three Niners drives by the defense, the Packers defense gave the ball back to the offense. And so they came up big when they had to.
Right. I agree. But they need to make a stop earlier in the game. They can't put it all on Rodgers at the end of the game like that, and especially with Crosby. I know he had a tough game last week, and he came back with redemption. But at the same time, if you don't put Rodgers in that predicament, we're not in that predicament, and we should have won that game single-handedly, hands down, easily. But in the end, a W is a W. Even though it was ugly, I'll take it.
Yeah, I don't know about the should part. I mean, those guys get paid to play, too. But I definitely think that they performed maybe even their best game of the season, and that was a nice surprise for them because they're going through a tough stretch. Yeah, Marquise Goodwin was able to run free in the secondary. That's definitely a concern. They've got to get as much of a pass rush as they can possibly muster. And so, yeah, there are questions about the defense for sure. I mean, let's be honest, Aaron Rodgers hasn't played his best football either the last month or so. He definitely has been hobbled. He gets hit. He re-aggravates the knee injury. But he needs more time. The offensive line doesn't give him a whole lot of time.
No, that's very true. That's very true.
All right, sir. I'm glad that you got the win, though. That makes the 2.5 hours a little easier to stomach.
Exactly. Keep up with a good show. I love it.
All right. Thanks, Doug. I appreciate it. Although I need to apologize for my mistake. As I was talking to George about the Rams, I mentioned that Marcus Peters is older. I meant to say Aqib Talib is older. He's the guy who's been in the league for a decade. Peters is just a handful of years in the league, maybe 3-4. So forgive me for mixing those up. Either way, the concerns still stand for the Rams. They definitely do have a secondary that's been prone to give up big plays. And I am a huge believer in Wade Phillips. I like that the run defense was better when they were on the road in this week 6 game, but the secondary is still a concern. And Aqib Talib is out for a while anyway. He was brought in for the purpose of shoring up that secondary and being reunited with Wade Phillips. All right, what's the fatal flaw for your team? As we approach Halloween, it's our Twizzler Tuesday question. Brandon says on Twitter, A-Law Radio, the Browns wide receivers. And I saw another of you fans on one of our social media sites that said the Browns wide receivers can't catch anything. let's see. I love that this tweet from, I think it's Aaron, says, it includes jack-o'-lanterns for the Halloween theme. Sorry, I lost my train of thought there. I was trying to read his name. So we'll call him Aaron. He says the Texans, the offensive line, and the head coach, #spooky, #scariest, and then a couple of jack-o'-lanterns. let's see. Another tweet. Have to go with the Atlanta Falcons defensive injuries. We've won or lost every game except the Steelers on the last play. #we rise up. Another tweet, this from a Patriots fan, most afraid of the Pats secondary. Best offense I've seen in a few years with Edelman back, Gordon being a nice target, but most importantly, a very reliable run game. But he says secondary gives up huge plays and made Bortles have an MVP day. Well, that was earlier in the year. They've come a long way since then, but didn't do a whole lot to slow down the Chiefs, that's for sure. And then Ernest says on Twitter, the Cowboys inconsistency, #TwizzlerTuesday. All right, so what's the scariest thing about your football team at this point in the season, a third of the way through? A-Law Radio or our Facebook page. We'll get to some of those answers coming up. 855-212-4227.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
No to the old men who call me up and address me as sweetheart in that condescending tone. It's not the same as me addressing sweet Rita as sweetheart. Oh, shut up. There are some rules that we have around here, some house rules. Never, ever comment on the host's appearance because you can't see me anyway. It's radio, for heaven's sakes. Do not call me sweetheart because this is my place of business, especially when you're trying to tell me at what you know about football and mansplain things to me. I don't need that either. Just talk to me like I'm a regular human being, okay? No pet names are required. And you really don't even have to compliment me. I'm happy you like the show. In fact, if you weren't listening, well then... No, wait. I need to start that again. If you are listening, there we go. If you are listening, then I'm pretty confident that you like the show. So you don't even have to tell me. It's nice to hear, but I'd rather we just talk about sports.
The hottie with the sports now.
Yeah, don't be calling me hotties. Don't be calling me anything. Just Amy works fine. And if you have to throw in a ma'am, that's okay too. Although, well, I mean, I can't say anything. I call everyone ma'am and sir, even on the radio sometimes, but almost always in my regular walk of life. When I had to call the insurance company on Friday about my car, I was, ma'am, thank you, ma'am. When I spoke to the police, I was all about the sirs. So yeah, I still do the ma'ams and the sirs. And when I'm in Texas, I love it when the guys open the doors and call you ma'am. That's a Texas thing. You know, well, I spend my time in the South in Texas now, but it used to happen in Oklahoma too. It's a Southern thing more than it is a Northern thing or other parts of the country. So that's nice. I could get used to that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's our number, toll-free line. And then on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And our Facebook page, you're blowing it up yet again. The uncertainty, it drives you mad, I tell you. And so last week we were asking about the one word to describe your team. And now this week I'm asking you, for Twizzler Tuesday, what scares you the most about your team in honor of Halloween? We have no decorations here in our studio, though. Some of you are using emojis, which is awesome. And others of you are using some fun hashtags like spooky, scariest. So I read a bunch of your tweets, and I'll get back to those. In fact, producer Chris is retweeting a bunch of your answers. But I promised that I would get to Facebook, and you are blowing it up. So I will coming up momentarily. Can I also just say one more thing? I am happy, as in I'm actually having an emotion about it. I am happy that the Patriots found out which fan threw beer on Tyreek Hill after one of his touchdowns on Sunday night, and that they revoked his privileges in the stadium, so banned him. Now, I don't know whether or not charges will be pressed. I've heard a couple of different reports. One was that the Chiefs were not interested in pressing any kind of charges. So Tyreek Hill, he wasn't going to press any kind of charges. But that the Patriots and the police decided to go ahead and press charges against this fan. And I'm hoping that just the speaking of frightening, just the frightening experience of having to sit in front of police and answer questions about why you threw a beer on another human being because you lost your mind at a football game. I'm hoping that's enough to scare this young man into either A, being able to handle his liquor, or B, recognizing that it's just sports. You do not throw beer on other people. People just forget where they are. And any type of civility or decency. Not to mention, flying objects can hurt people.
Idiot.
It happens periodically. This is not a diatribe or a monologue on Patriots fans. Craig Kimbrell had something thrown at him when he was coming out of the bullpen in the Bronx at Yankee Stadium. A couple years ago, I was talking about Toronto Blue Jays fans throwing stuff on the field. It does happen every now and then, and I've talked about it more than once. There's no excuse for it. And if you get caught doing it, you should be banned. So I really hope it was worth that young kid losing his beer and his right to sit in those pretty incredible seats along the back of the end zone. I mean, are you kidding me? It's ridiculous, like, completely ludicrous that a person could lose control of himself that much that he throws something at another human being. It's a little bit like social media, right? If you actually knew the people that you were talking to, sending your insults and rude and disrespectful, if you actually knew those people, you'd never say this stuff to their face. And somehow sports become a cover. Again, like social media, they become a cover. Oh, it's okay because he's a rabid fan. He was just really excited. No, it's not okay. You don't know these athletes. What gives you the right to endanger them or throw something at them just because they're playing in a stadium where your favorite team plays? And in case you were wondering, the Patriots don't think it was great either. Even though it was a beer thrown at a member of the opposite team. Gronk said that's crazy. And if Gronk thinks throwing beer is crazy, well, you can be sure then the rest of the Patriots are on the same vein. They don't want it to happen to them in other stadiums. And so this is not the Chiefs or Tyreek Hill who are going forward with potential charges. It's the Patriots and the police. And again, I hope just having to sit down and talk to authorities. I can only imagine. Now, I've never thrown anything at anybody else. Oh, no, I take that back. When I was, I'll tell you this, is something, I don't know that I've ever mentioned this on the air before. I once got into an argument with a now ex-boyfriend. We got into an argument and I threw a remote across the room. It wasn't anywhere near him, but I threw a remote across the room and into the wall. So I did once throw something in an argument. Anyway, it didn't hit him and it wasn't anywhere close to him. But I can imagine as a young kid, especially if you've never been in trouble with the law before, how sitting in front of the police and having to answer questions about why you threw an object at another human being would be pretty scary. So I hope this is a lesson he doesn't forget and keeps him in his right mind moving forward. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. See, Bernard is in Columbia, South Carolina. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, how you doing, Amy?
I'm good.
It's good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
This is probably my third time calling you, and I love your show.
Thanks.
And I'm thinking about a situation, since you were mentioning the police. I actually threw a pillow at my wife years ago and got arrested for it.
Come on, you did not. Wait,
I swear.
She turned you in for throwing a pillow?
She called the cops on me. Yep, sure did.
Oh, gosh, did you hurt her with the pillow?
No, I don't.
Did you try to suffocate her with the pillow?
I don't think it hit her.
Oh my gosh.
But anyway,
sorry. That's not funny.
I wanted to talk about the Jets. I hate the fact that I like that we set a record with field goals. Mm-hmm. So congratulations to the kicker.
Yeah, there's good news and there's bad news.
That we
yeah.
had to kick so many field goals.
Right.
Like score. I want to see a touchdown and I'm very scared about that. You know, like I know we're not going to go to the playoffs this year, but it's just, you know, score touchdowns. We can't win in the NFL kicking field goals.
That's true. You can't be settling for field goals, to be sure.
Right.
And so I understand what you're saying. And actually, it's kind of interesting that Mike McCarthy said the same thing. He's like, I'm really happy for Mason Crosby, but I wish we didn't have to kick so many field goals on Monday night. So I'm right. with you. I mean, it's about the red zone and it's about capitalizing on your opportunities. And Sam Darnold said that. And it's partly having a rookie quarterback. It's partly just having a guy who's learning on the job. So I feel like they're getting better. I really like the rapport between him and Robbie Anderson, especially. You can tell that they've worked on it. They trust one another already. And so, yeah, it's a work in progress. But for now, at least the kicker gets to have his moment in the sun.
Yeah, give it to him. Because, you know, sometimes they're the heroes and sometimes they everybody hates them. So
yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah, exactly. I appreciate your understanding there, Bernard.
Right.
How did
you
grow up in New York? Is that how you're a Jets fan? Or
yes, born and raised, Queens, New York.
Columbia is nothing like New York.
No, not at all. But you know what? I've been out of the big cities. I don't enjoy big cities anymore. I can't stand traffic and
I hear that
just the congestion. So I'm okay here.
All right, good. Well, thanks so much for calling. Glad you can listen.
Thank you.
Oh, whoops. Sometimes I jump on the thank you and the goodbye, and then sorry, Bernard. Jeff is listening in Baltimore. Jeff, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, good morning, Amy. Love the show.
Thank you.
Just want to, what scares me the most about the Ravens is their lack of commitment to the running game. We have, you know, with running backs that are more than capable, yet John Harbaugh, for whatever reason, can't focus in on one of these. One for short yardage, one for receiving, and Alex Collins, who's pretty much good at both, doesn't seem to be getting, you know, the majority of the touches, which we in here at Baltimore think he should. So that's my biggest fear is relying on Joe. I think we have a great skill set around him this year, better than we've had in many years past. So we need a running game. Defense travels, but without a running game, we're not going far. Love the show. I want to hang up and listen to your response. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it. Actually, I understand what you're saying about the run game, and I would agree with you on this point that it definitely needs to be a focus. And I'm hoping that Alex Collins gets more and more of an opportunity. I know that there are some people who are concerned about how he might fumble the ball, but I still say that he's a really reliable option. I think he's light on his feet. Maybe it has to do with the Irish dancing. I think he's great. He brings balance to the offense for sure. And so I hope that they do give him more opportunities. At the same time, Flacco is in a nice rhythm with these veteran wide receivers. So as long as they're keeping defenses honest by attempting to run the ball, I think that they're in a good spot. I'm going to quick check the stats because the last I knew, the Ravens were actually averaging more than 100 yards per game. So I want to go back because I remember a couple of weeks ago I did a column on the pass happy gaudy numbers that we're getting, but at the same time noted that what stands out about the division leaders, most of them, is that they were averaging more than 100 rushing yards per game. So it's definitely something that that teams have to stay committed to if they want to be viable, especially as the weather turns colder long term. Let's go with yards per game here and see what I can find. Baltimore is just shy of 100 rushing yards per game. So have fallen out of that a little bit. Now they're at 99.2. But that's still, it's still at least a commitment to the run game. So that's definitely important. All right, 1 hour left to go. It's a Twizzler Tuesday. What frightens you about your team? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.